because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Wisconsin's Eye summary of the news of this week. We got a lot of news, J.R. What, the summer doldrums? I don't think so. Let's start with the governor. Of the 17 Republican candidates, he's the first one to come out with how he would, quote, replace and repeal?
Yes, repeal and replace Obamacare.
Okay, I've had it backwards. Repeal and replace Obamacare. So he was the first one. Let's look at what he said before we talk about how it played. Some of the provisions. Age-based refundable tax credits ranging from $900 for those younger than 17 to $3,000.
Based on age, not income.
Yes, or family status, number in your family.
Yep.
So he would give states more flexibility to manage Medicaid health care for the poor and disabled. Do I hear echoes of Paul Ryan's block grants proposal there,
You very much do, yes.
Okay. He would allow health care policies to be sold across the state lines, and the issue there, are you going to mandate what coverage? I mean, that's still a big part.
Turn that back to the states. That was part of his plan, too.
So the states would dictate?
Basically, have oversight of health insurance coverage from now on, yes.
There'd be no universal
Not
mandates.
Sure about that. It's 15 pages with five of it was like graphics. So, you know, there are a lot of details that are kind of light in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that Walker's trying to fit into his theme of the states do a better job than the federal government. Let's send power back to them. That was a big part of that. And two, he's trying to use this as a knock on these D.C. Republicans, which is a new line this week as well. You know, I'm frustrated too. And you've seen that, not just about this, but with education, other things, the Iowa State Fair, knocking D.C. Republicans. You promised us last year campaign trail, if Republicans get back to the Senate, we have a bill on the president's desk to repeal Obamacare. It's August, where is it? You know, that he's now also saying that he had to cajole the Republicans in Wisconsin to take on the status quo, which
right.
If you read Twitter, there are a couple of lawmakers who in that caucus, those caucus meetings back in 2011 going, we weren't intimidated either, Governor. But his now line is, I've taken my party before, back home, I can do it in D.C. I'm going to be the anti-establishment cabinet as well, kind of thing.
Well, let's talk about the reaction that he got to his health care plan. Jindal just smoked it, said it's a cradle to grave, it's big government.
Well, he's trying to out-conservative everybody. I mean, that's Jindal's thing now, is trying to get as far right as he can to create a path for him to have some kind of standing on the stage, if you will. He's 1%, 2%.
He's an asterisk,
So that's part of that. I mean, generally, conservative media had a good reaction to it. You know, they praised him for having something solid out there that they could, you know, read. Rubio got out ahead of him a little bit with, I think, Monday night on Politico about his plan. But for the most part, people aren't really putting forward something like this yet. So he got some kudos from conservatives about doing it.
Overall, did he help or hurt his presidential campaign by rolling out some type of health care plan?
Oh, helped. You know, it shows... hey, I'm serious, I've got a plan, these guys don't. And again, it's almost as much about the D.C. thing. These guys aren't acting, you know, we need action. Talk is fine. Talk is not good enough. We need somebody who's going to act, and I can act.
Okay, let's turn to that right now, and let's develop that. You've been mentioning it, but I really want to land on it. What new, and how did he change, did he sharpen his campaign? I mean, let's start with, nobody can out-Trump Trump.
No.
But on immigration, did he try to come pretty close and echo Donald Trump?
Now he's saying that there's not much difference between their positions, that he also believes that there should be an end to the birthright citizenship.
But that's never going to happen.
No.
It would take an amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Well, Trump says it might be unconstitutional, which I thought was interesting. An amendment to the Constitution might be unconstitutional. But anyway.
Wait a minute. Donald Trump says something I believe in may not be constitutional. And you have our governor kind of saying a weak me too.
Well, what governor's trying to do is he had a conference call with his supporters on Monday. And we got some notes from that from somebody who's on the call.
Yeah.
And what he said basically was, I'm not going after Trump, I'm going after his voters. And if you look at Republicans of the field right now, they are trying to position themselves, okay, they believe at some point Trump is going to crater. Now, we've been saying that for weeks, and he keeps going well, so maybe that's not going to happen. But their belief is there's a segment of the base that is fed up with politics as usual, politicians in general, and they want somebody who's not a politician. That's why you see Trump surging, Ben Carson surging, Carly Fiorina surging. So they position themselves, if you will, to catch those voters when they say, okay, this person may be a great messenger right now, but not the candidate to deliver on these promises. So that's what they're trying to do, is position themselves. If Trump falters, who's going to get Trump's voters? Same with Carson and Fiorina.
You guys do politics really, 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 really well. So I want to ask you, back you up and ask this question. Trump is, you use the term surging, but has any national poll put him at more than 30%?
No.
How much more upside is there? I mean, if he's, okay, everybody's surprised that he's leapfrogged to 24, 25, 28%. But the fact that he's never broken 30, does that suggest that maybe that...
Oh, yes. There could be a ceiling. And that's the thing, though. If you're talking 17-person field right now, be at 30 is a pretty strong position. The question is, can he stay, expand the base?
Yeah.
He's doing better in national polls against Hillary Clinton, for example.
Right.
Before, he was the one who polled the worst against Hillary Clinton in the field. Now, he's doing okay in some of these polls. So does that mean he's getting some more legitimacy, or people are more comfortable with him? What's going on? But yeah, there's a question of, can he break through beyond the anti-establishment, Tea Party type crowd and get to a broader base? That's a good question. But again, with 17 people in the field, at what point does it narrow and people say, okay, my first choice is him. He's gone. I'm going to go to X now.
I saw your good story this week on what Walker told his fundraisers. Did he pretty much say, I've got to do something majorly different?
He talked about getting more passionate. I mean, and you saw that when the Iowa State Fair with the confrontation,
hecklers,
if you will, with a heckler.
Yeah.
The Walker we know is not somebody, he's talked about this before, turn the other cheek, treat people with respect. At the height of the things in 2011, he says, I treated people well. I didn't like take it personally. The guy you saw on the soapbox on Monday was confrontational, finger in your face.
Unintimidated.
I will not be intimidated, sir. This is what happened in Wisconsin. I will not be intimidated by you or anybody else. Kind of
right.
Like, you know,
right.
He gets it. He's the angry guy. He gets the passion, the frustration, if you will. That was a new tone for Governor Walker. Now the question kind of becomes, can he sustain that and tap into that? Walker's done very well in Wisconsin of having credibility with the Tea Party crowd, the anti-establishment folks, even though he's been in government his entire adult life, essentially.
Yeah.
He still had a good credibility with them. Can he be that guy, though, nationally? That's why Trump and Carson and Fiorina are doing well, because they're not politicians. Can Walker, after being in government for 20-plus years, be that candidate? I mean, Rand Paul this week, career politician, you know, I'm not going to listen to that guy kind of thing. Will that attack kind of evolve if Walker gets his footing?
Are you surprised, though, that now he has expanded, as you said earlier, some of the criticism to his fellow Republicans? I mean, he said, in speaking of the 2010-2011 Act 10, a lot of people don't know that I took on, before anything else, the establishment of my own party. This is a new theme for him. And he also said, I'm fed up with Washington, too.
Yes.
So why has he suddenly thrown, saying, well, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Sensenbrenner, 18, 19 terms, people like that? I mean,
he's never going to criticize Paul Ryan. So he still talks about Paul Ryan and flipping burgers and McDonald's every time he can. But what he's trying to do is set himself up as, these guys who are surging are not the establishment. I can show you that I'm not the establishment either. I've fought the good fight and won, his line again from everything he says, even with my own party. Because people within the Republican base, if you look at the polls, are frustrated with Washington, D.C. Mitch McConnell is not a popular person, even with the base right now. It's easy to use him as a foil, if you will, to say, look, I'm not a Washington guy, which, oh, by the way, also differentiates him from Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, right. Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush is the establishment family name. I'm not one of those guys. I'm one of you, kind of thing. And the other line this week was about how I've lived your life. My family lives like your family does. I am just like you, essentially. I can relate to you, where a Jeb Bush, you know, from a long family line of wealth, cannot.
And his financial statements document that.
Yes.
Let's close that segment this way. This final poll, CNN ORC, Trump at 24%. Jeb Bush, 13%, Ben Carson, 9%, and Scott Walker and Marco Rubio at 8%. So it's single digits.
Everything you're seeing is that his numbers are receding. Even in Wisconsin, in the presidential poll, his numbers are receding here and elsewhere. That's an issue for him.
New subject. 1 month after our Supreme Court ordered the shutdown of the John Doe probes and the return of all materials, documents, and computers, the GOP leaders in both the Senate and the Assembly now have cleared a package of John Doe reforms that will be acted on in the fall session, right?
Yep. Doesn't matter what day it comes to the floor, but yeah, they're going to move forward on this stuff.
Okay. And let's look at a summary of just a few of the things in that package. It would limit who is subject to the secrecy orders, limited to the judge, DA, or the prosecuting attorney, law enforcement officers, court personnel. There would be a six-month time limit on John Doe unless, and this is a very unique procedure, you get all the chief administrative judges of all the districts, district court judges, to sign off on another six-month extension. Mm-hmm. And there's a clause in here. That vote would have to be public.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Did you watch that assembly hearing yesterday?
I had somebody
Democrats
else go to it.
Jumped on this?
Yeah.
It would make the cost of John Doe proceedings subject to open records law. It would limit John Doe jurisdictions to certain felonies and violent crimes. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats say, if this passes, John Doe's will never again be used for campaign finance violations or to investigate any elected official.
This is almost point by point a reaction to John Doe investigations. First of then County Executive Scott Walker's staff.
Yes.
And as we all know, him, he was a target as well.
Yes.
And B, the coordination between server groups and Scott Walker's campaign during the recalls. It is almost line by line, this is what we don't like about these investigations, this is how we're going to react to it. So they're taking that experience and applying to everything going forward.
Well, yesterday, Assembly Committee Chairman Ott, he just said, look, the governor was pretty much, not his term, but you've heard it before, the victim of a witch hunt here. Yep. And it wasn't fair. There were selective leaks. So this has to pass. So, boy, are we going to have some amazing debate. but this is a starter for the fall session, and it's going to pass, right?
Well, it lumped this in with, and for some problems, it's all kind of related, GAB reform, overhaul, destruction, whatever you want to call it, campaign finance overhaul, reform, structure, whatever you call it, and then John Doe. They're all kind of related. It's going to be boom, boom, boom. Now, I get the impression the Assembly wants to take those things up like all kind of in rapid succession or together as a package of we're cleaning up these things. Senate may take its time and do things like one at a time as it does before. But again, Democrats, we've talked about before, they may try and use this as a message of these guys are taking this government away from you, the voter, okay, and trying to make it safe for them.
How come we haven't seen, we now have a formal bill on John mm-hmm. Doe changes. We haven't seen the new GAB bill, yes, or the campaign finance bill. Are you quite sure those are going to be rolled out for the fall session?
They seem very much intent on doing it. Now, partly with the GAB bill, let's talk about that one, was the LAB did two audits, right?
Yeah.
The first one came out, caused all kinds of like consternation among Republicans of something has to be done now.
They changed the law.
But they didn't get to look at the complaint stuff. Well, that's what came out the second one.
Right.
Now they have both of them done. That I think people are waiting for that a little bit. But two, you've got to get both houses on the same page about what's this board going to look like. There can usually be a consensus of the board shall change, but what shall the board look like once they're done with it?
Okay, but that audit release yesterday generally said that the board has been responsive. Mm-hmm. It threw no major flags at GAB.
Not at least at the election stuff.
Oh, on the election stuff. Yeah. And then Kevin Kennedy said, the fact that we have a new audit showing that we responded and it's working means we're fighting for our life here. Don't scrap us.
Well, it was interesting, I don't think it got a lot of attention, but LAB staff actually sat in on confidential discussions about a few matters during this course of this second audit.
Yeah.
And they described the scene of the board members having discussions amongst themselves, asking questions of the staff, disagreeing with each other, disagreeing with staff recommendations or opinions or justifications. And that's what Kenny's talking about, that this shows that they're exercising their own judgment. I don't get the impression from Republicans, they feel like, yep, everything's all good, now we can just kind of walk away and let it go as is.
Okay, new subject. You know, something very interesting has happened in Wisconsin. I think, this may be stretching it, but I think it's our version of the Keystone Pipeline controversy. This issue about whether the city of Waukesha should be able to divert Lake Michigan is so precedent-setting, mm-hmm, and it's being watched nationally, internationally, and you have the DNR tentatively giving the thumbs up to it, but then you had a public hearing for 2 days yesterday. Let's listen to two speakers at the public hearing, one arguing for the diversion, one arguing against.
I'd like to give you one citizen's non-political, non-technical viewpoint. I pay my taxes, I pay my utility bills, including my water bill, and every time I pay my water bill, I get to read about the problems in Waukesha water. I'm supportive of the current plan. It makes sense to me. I'm just Joe Blow citizen, but it makes sense. Take water from Lake Michigan, use it, clean it, and return it to Lake Michigan. It makes sense, and I ask you to continue to support this process.
When one doesn't have the resources to serve those for whom they are presently responsible, the responsible thing to do is stop expanding. Milwaukee County has plenty of space, and they have the water. Milwaukee didn't develop on Lake Michigan by accident. The population should move to the water, not the other way around. Based on the city's blatant disregard for the EPA's order, expanding all the while, I believe that giving the city a drinking straw to Lake Michigan is the last thing that should happen. The city should make do with what it has. The water table is rising, stop annexing, and adding apartments hand over fist. Can't anyone say no anymore?
JR, this is a very emotional issue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the scope of who's involved in this just intrigues me, because you have governors of other Great Lakes states, you have the leaders of Kenda provinces, and you have the leaders of other cities, Superior, Detroit, who live next to, they're right next to Great Lakes. I mean, this is a long way from being done, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because it, go back to geography. Waukesha County straddles a line between the Mississippi River Basin and the Great Lakes Basin.
Yeah.
Waukesha, the city, if I remember right, is outside of the basin for the Great Lakes. It would be precedent setting to have them, the city, be able to draw water from the Great Lakes. Now, they promised to return it, only treated by treated wastewater and all that kind of good stuff, but to pull it outside the basin would be a precedent setting move, and the question becomes, who else would want it then? And that kind of becomes part of the issue. It's always a slippery slope argument of, well, who's next?
Right.
What? Who else gets a drink out of there, and where's that water going to go? Obviously, those folks, environmentalists, no matter what you do, if anybody approves this, the DNR, the state, the Great Lakes Compact, they're going to sue, I can almost assure you, in court if they are approved to pull the water out, because they want to prevent that precedent from happening, and the worry of, well, who else is going to get a draw?
But, yes, you have interest on the part of other cities, city in Michigan, Detroit. They may want to do this, too. So this is really being watched, and governors of other Great Lakes states and leaders of Canadian provinces, they can say, okay, we agree, no, this should be rejected, or it should be amended. So this is going to play out for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Waukesha is saying, look, we can't draw from anywhere else right now. Our wells are came with radium, and we can't get it from
the radium content of Waukesha water.
We can't get it from the Mississippi River Basin, so where do we go now? You know, what else do we do?
Right. Right. It's very interesting. Wisconsin and I did a completely unscientific, you know, Survey Monkey, and 16 respondents said yes, 263 said no. And I was struck by one Ohio official who put it this way. What's at stake here is the potential draining of the Great Lakes by a thousand straws. Okay. Pretty good.
Again, the slippery slope argument of what's next.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Okay, Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School, we're back in the field asking political questions.
The Geek Super Bowl.
Like us, man. So they asked their first set of political questions since April. I want to go through a few of the highlights and any PSs or any additions, please jump in, okay?
Right.
First one, when Wisconsin Republicans are independents who lean Republicans, who do you like for president? Cheeseheads, Republican cheeseheads. Scott Walker, 25%, Ben Carson, 13%, 9%, Donald Trump, 8%, Ted Cruz. Now, but you're going to add a PS, the April.
Walker's at 40% in April.
Now, in April.
Here's the thing. Almost every governor who runs for president sees his or her home numbers drop.
Yep.
So Walker's not unique in this. It is kind of a little bit unusual to watch, though, that his support among Republicans are just kind of like dropping at the time that's going on. And anecdotally, I can tell you from talking to GOP lawmakers, I'll tell you back home in their districts, Walker's not very popular. Now, the question becomes, do folks rebound? If the contest is still alive come April next year, they come back to Wisconsin, if it's still a contest, will Republicans go, you know, I'm going to shake off my unhappiness about the budget, the bucks, whatever, and vote for my hometown hero, or am I going to go with Ben Carson or Don? I mean, that's the thing. Walker has to hope that things hold up and snap back for him come April, that it comes to that.
Well, there's a few other things I want to land on the poll, but okay, let's go to the Democrats. Democrats, Wisconsin Democrats and independents who lean Democrat, who should be president? Ta-da! Hillary Clinton, 44%, Bernie Sanders, 32%, Joe Biden, 12%, Vice President Biden.
Speaking of losing support from April, Hillary Clinton was 58% back in April. Now, Bernie had not announced. Elizabeth Warren was in that poll because she was still kind of talking. She since said no. So there is definitely a thirst, if you will, in the Democratic base for somebody other than Hillary Clinton. And
yes.
Bernie has captured that progressive imagination right now. Question, just like with Walker, will that contest be alive come April of next year? Will he have an opportunity, if we will, to build upon this support in places like Madison and who knows? It's not great for Hillary Clinton that she's dropping in a state like Wisconsin.
And you and I both worked at the Democratic State Convention. I was surprised at how aggressive Bernie Sanders, feel the burn, backers were at the convention.
Wisconsin, go back to 2008. I remember when that contest was heating up still with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Like, oh, Wisconsin should be Hillary land, right? I mean, you've got blue-collar Dems in the northern part of Wisconsin. The state went for her husband twice. This should be her territory. Barack Obama came in and took Wisconsin away from her because he tapped in that progressive vein of the party, which, by the way, has only gotten bigger and more aggressive since 2008 because of the fights over Act 10 and those kinds of things. So there is a real receptive audience to vote for Bernie Sanders right now in Wisconsin, the Democratic base.
And when Charles Franklin asked the 802 people who responded about the coming U.S. Senate race, 2016, Democrat Russ Feingold, 47%, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, 42%, but there's a lot more to this story.
Yes. Go back to April again. It was 16-point spread. Now, when I talked to people back in April about the Marquette poll, even Democrats were like, that's too big a spread. This was happening right after Feingold announced. He hadn't been the public eye for a while, so probably a lot of name ID going into that. So they knew it was going to snap back. Now, the question is, 5 points, is that like an unusual snapback, if you will? It's coming on the tail of a bunch of headlines about Feingold saying, I'm not going to stick to my pledge. I'm not going to stick to my pledge. I keep most money from Wisconsin because it's not realistic in the post says United World anymore.
Yes.
So those things, is that hurting Feingold? Now, it's talking to Dems and Republicans this week, the sheen seems to have come off the Feingold campaign a little bit. He's not just this perfect angel coming down. He is a politician, served 3 terms in the U.S. Senate. He's taking positions that are beneficial to him politically. So there's that. Also in that poll, Ron Johnson, 4.5 years in office.
38%.
Don't have an opinion of him.
Don't know enough or don't have an opinion. But we also have to say that Feingold's numbers of don't knows, 28%.
Yeah, so it's dropped a little bit, but he's not been in office for 4.5 years. Johnson has. Now, freshman senators, hey, it's not uncommon to be out of the public eye, not really be as, you know, a face of the party, if you will, or face of the state. But for Johnson, it's part of it's a product of not really being here as much as he could have been the first few years. He has ramped up in last 6 months, I'd say, or so, of doing more events around Wisconsin. You're seeing that more often, more notices of him doing town halls here and that kind of stuff. So that's getting better for him. But he also has the fundamental nature of Wisconsin, a presidential you're working against him next year. It's not going to be 2010 all over again. It's going to be likely now, if it goes last couple cycles, a Democratic year, 3 million people turning out. A lot of people that turn out in 2010 are Democrats who are going to come out in 2016.
Yeah.
We have not seen a Senate race and top of the ticket race go different ways since Feingold in 98. And was it Cole in Feingold in 98, I think it was. Last time that a Dem won one, Republican the other one, right? So that's an issue for Johnson. If the state goes Democratic like he has the last couple of cycles, can he fight that headwind? There are lots of issues for him to deal with, even if Feingold's numbers are kind of tightening up a little bit.
Let's keep talking politics just a little bit before we get to some of the other issues in the law school poll. Walker approval rating, you saw the headlines, lowest ever, 39%. Yes. 39% disapprove, 57%. How big a deal?
Significant, because if you go back and look at the history of the Marquette poll, Walker was almost always in the 48 to 50%, 46 for approval rating, and like 44 to 46 for disapproval. And the thought had been for months and months and months that Scott Walker has so locked people in that support will never dip below here and never get above here. Well, all of a sudden now it's cratered below that mark of, you know, mid-40s, and it's in the upper 30s. That's not good. It's a reflection of, if you look in the poll again, you'd be cut. People don't like that. The budget was difficult. The Bucks thing, who knows how that's playing. It was in the poll. He's gone a lot.
Yeah.
We've seen Scott Walker go to La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, Green Bay, and sell his, you know, his vision, his plans, his bills. He's not making trips there right now. He's going to New Hampshire and Iowa.
He's in New Hampshire right now, is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Going on a southern swing after that. So people aren't seeing him, and they're kind of, you look at the poll, they're not real happy to run for president. Now, that's common for a governor to have that happen, but for Walker, it's different because he's been that guy who's always campaigning in the state, even in off years, he's campaigning in Wisconsin.
Yeah, on some other issues in the poll. Between April, the last survey on political issues, and now the August 13-16 window, the bill banning abortions after 20 weeks got passed. 48% support, 44% oppose. Any surprise there?
Interesting that's happening in the middle of the Planned Parenthood videos. Is that influence the outcome of that question? That's one to kind of watch and see those numbers percolate up or down. What's interesting there is there's no exemption for rape and incest in that bill. That was thought
medical emergencies.
That was thought to be an issue. So maybe that means that people aren't really that upset about it. Kind of something to watch for.
And one of the crosstabs in there said, interesting, Protestants and Catholics both supported that. The budget, which is now law, signed into law by Governor Walker, $250 million cut over 2 years to the UW system. Question, would that cut hurt the UW system? 38% of those responding said no. 58% said yes.
Interesting.
Is that a live issue for 2016? It must be.
Oh, it will be. I mean, Democrats are going to use that of, They cut UW by 250, and they gave the Bucks Arena. Now, some Democrats voted for it as well.
Yes.
But it's an easy line to use. Oh, by the way, your schools are cutting water. They're going to go on down the line of stuff that Republicans have done. So there's that. Interesting, too, though, that poll also showed that people thought they could absorb the tuition freeze without it impacting educational quality so much.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Also, in between the April and August windows on the poll, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, making it the law of the land. How did Wisconsinites feel? 52% support, 40% oppose. But Franklin said that when you go below, there's a big generational gap in support for that. That's very interesting. But that's is that a surprise, 52?
Not at all. It shows you, again, that this issue has moved dramatically away from Republicans in the last decade. I mean, 2006, we're all talking about that vote on the gay marriage amendment and how it was going to pull out Republicans and help them a great deal. It ended up drawing out Democrat college students in these campuses like Eau Claire, Platteville, that helped Democrats in assembly races, actually.
Has Governor Walker stopped talking about a constitutional amendment that would make same-sex marriage on a state-by-state basis?
He hasn't really stopped talking about it. I mean, he's not like backing away from it, but he's not like the focus of the campaign the last couple of weeks, no.
Okay. All right. Time for the WisPolitics stock report rising.
So Bernie Sanders, hey, give the guy credit. You know, he's got some fire. Feel the burn, right? That's the thing he was saying.
32% in that poll.
Republicans are almost giddy about the prospect of Bernie Sanders giving Hillary Clinton a hard time because look at the context. He's got all these email server problems, right? Look at the poll a little bit below the surface. Her disapproval rating in Wisconsin was 53% almost.
Ooh.
She's still beating Walker by 10 points in Wisconsin, still beating Bush by 5 was the closest one I think
it was. Okay, in the head-to-head, Hillary 52, Walker 42.
That's right. So why is she still winning if the people don't like her? That's an interesting question. But yeah, I mean, for Sanders, he had 10,000 people come out in Madison. There's definitely a base for him to tap into here. But again, will the race be alive come April? We'll see. I think the Hillary Clinton people are pretty confident of this will pass. And we'll rebound. The Clintons have second lives constantly, so they're not ready to kind of give up just yet, if you will.
I think this was my number one surprise in the law school poll, that Bernie went from, wasn't even asked about in April, to 32%. Okay, mixed.
So property values, they've gone up 2 years in a row, but we're still nowhere close to where we were in 2008. It kind of shows you that the depth of what our homes hit, if you will, in the Great Recession. And now they're slowly getting back. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I know this is a big passion of yours.
Well, it is. And I'm getting ready to do a show on this. So I've got the numbers, JR. I mean, you're absolutely right. And here's what the recent Department of Revenue report showed. All property in Wisconsin was valued at $479 billion, in 2014. But 2008 was a year before the recession. Then it was valued at $514 billion, which is a drop of 6.8%. And I'm going to go wonk one more on you. Let's look within those numbers of residential property. Residential property in 2014, the recent DOR report, $336 billion. Mm-hmm. 2008, $370 billion, a drop of 9.1%. So all this by saying, I completely agree that with your mix, falling.
Tim Carpenter, the guy is desperate for a job outside of Madison and cannot find one. He's run now three times with the office of loss. He ran for Congress in 2004.
I forgot about that.
Lost the nomination in Gwen Moore. He ran for city treasurer.
Treasurer
against Spencer Coggs. Lost that one, 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he loses a special election for a aldermanic district in Milwaukee. Now, I mean, the seat was a swing one. He lost to conservative by very narrow margin. There are all kinds of things. You know, did he run a good campaign? Did the Bucks vote hurt him? All kinds of things you go to. But it's clear that Carpenter is trying to find something else.
Yes.
He's stuck in the minority in the Senate, has been for a while. He's not somebody who's been in a leadership position. And it's like you can tell he wants to do something else, get rid of the commute, but every time he's tried, he's failed. Now, he could run again in April for that aldermanic district. There's you go from a special election to a normal term being up, and you get a better turnout. Maybe that helps you a little bit, but you know it's not that great to be a three-time loser when you're looking for another job outside of Madison.
Let's close on one more issue. Governor Doyle liked the idea of high-speed trains and supporting them, and his administration signed a deal with Talgo to buy new train sets.
Mm-hmm.
Well... Problem then, Governor Walker was elected 2010, shut down, didn't take the federal money to subsidize a high-speed service from Madison to Milwaukee, canceled the Talgo train order, and to settle a lawsuit this week, the state agreed to pay Talgo $9.7 million.
Yeah.
That's your money and mine.
That is maybe the last twist of the saga of high-speed rail in Wisconsin. I mean, barring some big reversal, right? But think about that whole deal where it was going to be this giant stimulus package, $810 million to spend. Walker campaigned on it. It helped him a great deal.
It did.
And now this, you know, and you, it's become a matter of finger pointing. Well, it's Doyle's fault that we got on the hook for this money. Well, Republicans, it was okay to cancel the trains from Madison to Milwaukee, but you cancel the ones from Milwaukee to Chicago. That was a rub. The work had started. We told you it was going to happen. So, you know, it's all about finger pointing, placing blame, if you will, now.
I'm tempted to say all aboard, but we're not going all aboard. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for this week.